Hello and welcome to the Assurance Show. The snippet you will be hearing is from the Performance Audit Report, where we interviewed a leader in performance audit who had something interesting to say about the use of data. Hope you enjoy.
Today, we're fortunate to have a special guest with us. He's the Auditor General of British Columbia in Canada, Mr. Michael Pickup. Michael, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Could we start off with a little bit about your professional background and then maybe tell us about your office?
Sure. So I'm a professional accountant. I'm a FCPA and FCA, so accounting and auditing background. I've been Auditor General in British Columbia in year 3 of 8. Previous to this, I was Auditor General of Nova Scotia on the complete, nearly the complete other side of this large country, on the eastern side of the country. And before that, spent 25 years with the Auditor General of Canada, both in the financial audit and the performance audit experiences as well. So that's a little bit about my professional background. And certainly like to always mention that in addition to working in these audit offices, have enjoyed teaching at Canadian universities, including Carleton University in Ottawa and the University of Ottawa as well. And always enjoy speaking at conferences on various topics. As far as the office, our headquarters, if there's any such thing anymore post-pandemic, but our headquarter building, if you will, is in Victoria, British Columbia on Vancouver Island, which is an hour and a half ferry ride from the mainland of this very, very large province. And we have about 130 to 140 people. We do performance audits and we do financial audits. We are independent and we report directly to the legislature. And as long as we stay away from merits of policy and policy questions, we're quite independent to be able to pick what we want to audit on a performance audit front and then do our financial audits as well.
Just wanted to get an understanding of what your audit office's journey has been, where you are now and where you think you're going in terms of the use of data within performance audit.
It's one of those things I think we're always going to be talking about as an auditor and as an audit office. First and foremost, I think when we are doing audit planning, we need to have good discussions around how data analytics or any of these types of things that we might put under the umbrella of data, how that will actually assist us with our mandate and with the audit objectives and what we're trying to do. So we want to be careful that we aren't consultants, right? And we're not trying to write 100-page management letters and come up with every suggestion possible. And we're doing audits. Yes, we're telling a story around that audit, but we're not trying to provide people with every piece of information that they can possibly get. And with the changing world that we live in, and so much more information, I think, is available from those that we are auditing that is already provided. So on the scope of an audit, we want to look at whether we can use data at the planning stage. We spend probably a third of our time roughly on the planning phase of an audit. So looking at, can we use some of these tools and trying to figure out what some of the risks are, looking at some of the controls as well. And then when we get into the audit itself, looking at what makes sense, but always wanting to be careful that we're not just spending time on this because we can and because we know how, and we know how to do this and the data is there. I think on data, you know, visualization and presentation of data in the audits, I think that's an area, and we're having discussions on this now, I think that's an area that we'll want to improve upon and get a plan forward to say, what are some things that we're doing that make sense and what might we want to do differently? And part of that, I think, is having some outreach and engagement with those that are using and reading our reports. So what are some ways to present information that might be different? Because, you know, we're auditors at the end of the day, and we know the subjects, and we know what we're talking about, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the data visualization or presentation or use of data is really helping to explain the audit and how we made the conclusions that we did. So I think there is still more to do there, and we'll be looking at investing a little more time in coming up with strategies, not only from the product perspective, but from the people perspective as well, how comfortable are people with using this and doing this type of stuff? What level of sophistication do we want and have at a generalist level for everybody to have? What is that sort of baseline that is a minimum for everybody to be able to do? What is the intermediate level and what is the advanced level? And we have IT type of specialists with us on the performance side who can do some of that more sophisticated. But I think probably what was sophisticated 10 years ago is not sophisticated today. And there's certainly that shift where everybody has to be able to do a certain level. And I think we're probably running that in parallel at the same time with our financial audit practice as well, where it becomes fairly commonplace on financial audits to incorporate this. So we're always looking to also ask those types of questions. Are there things we're doing on the financial audit practice that can be brought over to the performance audit practice and should be brought over? And does some of this make sense as well?
That makes sense to make sure that the way in which you're approaching the use of data is based on the audit objective, which is typically what we write down as the audit objective in our scope and our reporting. And then there's the objective of the audit, meaning what do we want to achieve out of the audit, which includes the way in which we're going to report. And so I imagine when you talk about using data for the right objective, it's about both there to get to that result.
Yeah. And thinking about that, I guess, and pulling that to sort of a next step, I think about my time in Nova Scotia, right? I mean, clearly our goal and our mandate was to provide audits, performance audits, among other things, to the elected folks in the legislature, so they could use these reports to hold government accountable. So when people say, well, you hold government accountable? No, we give information to the elected people through audit that they can choose to use how they see fit to hold government accountable. So there is that little bit of nuance. So if I think of who we're reporting to, and I think of my time in Nova Scotia, where often we would see our audit reports being used in question period in the parliament, and you could just see that direct impact, if you will, and usefulness of the information. So in Nova Scotia, I can remember we did a lot of information where we pulled information and presented it rather than in the big numbers, you know, the $12 billion in expenses, we brought it down to a person level. So every Nova Scotian is using $4,800 worth of medical care, $16,700 of the provincial debt is owned by each person if you divide it up. That was very effective to allow elected people to be able to use the report to ask government questions. So, for example, we did that with education. We say, okay, you know, the number of students in the province has gone down. The cost of education has gone up this much. What are we getting for that? What are the results that are related to that? So I could see that being very effective. Now, to the second part that was inherent in your question goes to the other impacts or outcomes or things that can happen as a result of these audits. I guess we always want to think that the people that are undergoing these performance audits, these organizations, obviously they know the program. They know what they're doing better than we do coming into audits. So presumably when we write these reports, they're fairly well understood by those that we are auditing. So we've got to think about the presentation or the data that we're using and saying, okay, is this helping people in the legislature do their job? Is this necessary and going to help the people that we're auditing in terms of the recommendations that we're making and them implementing the recommendations as a secondary purpose or objective or outcome or impact? But remember that we're not doing these audits to come up with as many recommendations as we can to see these changes. That is secondary to our primary objective. Now, in reality, it's why many of us do these jobs, right? Yes, it's great to give the elected members these tools, but we do like to see positive changes happen. When I arrived in Nova Scotia as Auditor General in 2014, we followed up on our recommendations and 50% of the recommendations were completed by government within 2 years post-audit. Right. When I left in 6 years later in 2020, that number had gone up to 75%. So 3/4 of things were done within the 2 years. We didn't take credit for it as an audit office, you know, gave credit to those who were implementing the recommendations. But it was a gauge for me to say we were probably in a pretty good spot in terms of how we were writing these recommendations of things we were coming up with, that they actually made sense and they were being implemented as well.
I think you spoke about this briefly, but in terms of performance auditors using data, is the preference to have a central team that supports the performance audit team with data analysis, or do you see a time where all performance auditors will be doing the work themselves, or at least have some level of capability?
Where we are now is within our performance audit group, we have some specialists. They're called the IT audit team. Not that creative, I guess, but we come up with the name IT audit team for people who are doing IT audits. Maybe we need a catchier name for the group, but these specialists are housed within the performance audit group, and they are helping on performance audits, but also on the financial audit practice as well, where we're doing control environment type stuff. But the idea is over time that the level of comfort individual auditors who are more generalist of nature have a level of knowledge that maybe 10 years ago might have been thought of as something a little more sophisticated, but I think there has to be that basic level. I think if we look at the complexity of what government is doing and government's use of data and information as well, you know, really in order to keep up, and we'll need to have that level. And that will mirror the financial audit practice, which is where it has probably been faster pace of that happening. And because, you know, financial accounting and transactions have just become so computerized that you have to have a level of knowledge and comfort. I think the performance audit practice will increasingly catch up over time.
So, Michael, we're in the home stretch now with a final question. But before we get to that, I'm sorry, I'm going to throw back one of your quotes to you and then follow up with a question. So you said in a recent hearing of your Legislative Committee on Finance and Government Services, where you said, "I strongly believe in investing in building, not only for today, but for the future as well." So our on-the-spot question to you is, what will the performance auditor of the future look like?
Oh, good question. So I think that, you know, a performance auditor of the future, I think of the number one qualities I would look for in a performance auditor, and it doesn't necessarily mean that that trait has changed, but I would suggest perhaps that that trait may be more challenging to find, is intellectual curiosity. You know, people who make good performance auditors are those people who may just seem like the biggest pain if you're teaching a class, or if you're a parent, or if you, you know, have friends that are like that. It's those people who ask all of those types of questions. So I always look for that. And I'm sure outside of here, and, you know, and I include myself in this, those of us who are performance auditors and who are good at this, I'm sure drive people in our personal lives crazy, because I know I've recently heard, can we just go in and out of that car dealership without you turning it into a performance audit? Right? Like, you don't really need to be auditing them. I'm like, yeah, you know, you can't necessarily shut this off. So I think the performance auditor of the future needs to have that. They need to be with it in terms of technology, not just be able to use Instagram and TikTok, but to be able, particularly if they're coming from disciplines outside of accounting, where you may learn things related to technology and how to use some of these tools. I think no matter what your discipline is, if you come into performance audit, you're going to have that ability to use technology. You're going to have the ability to collaborate with people, to work together. And I think it's one of the areas to watch and risks to watch as we move to more isolated, in some cases, hybrid type of working, to say we don't want to lose people's ability to collaborate. I think the performance auditor of the future has to really keep the eye too on the mandate and the purpose and the objective of what we're doing, particularly as we look to performance auditors who are not accountants, who are very well educated, who are passionate about their area of discipline, right? No matter what that discipline is, that's part of why they have a master's degree or a PhD or whatever other kind of education they have. But realizing that when you come into an audit office, you're not here to develop policy and not to be frustrated. So you have to have that ability to be adaptable, I think, and to be able to say, okay, as a performance auditor, I have to understand my role. I look for agility. Those people who can say, okay, we're in a pandemic. Look how many pandemic-related audits we did. We did an information report September 20, 2020. We had the first pandemic-related report out in Canada. That was by being agile. If I look at some of the other pandemic-related audits we put out, again, it's that agility, which is different than being adaptable. So those, I think, are some of the traits I would think of as the performance auditor of the future. Maybe it's of the present as well.
Fantastic insights there. Look, that takes us to the end of the show. Michael, where can people find out a little bit more about your office and the work that you guys do?
Yeah, so the oag.bc.ca, and that stands for Office of the Auditor General, British Columbia, and .ca. So yeah, so it's all on the website. And of course, we have a YouTube channel as well, where all the videos are on there. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. We're not on TikTok yet. Although I keep trying to encourage folks to think about TikTok, even from a recruitment aspect, if it's not from a getting the performance audit message out.
Michael, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time and insights. And I reckon we'll have to regroup at some stage in the future to tease out some of those other matters we didn't get to today.
Sure. Happy to. So thank you for your time and interest, and all the best.